You have to be persistent. You have to be able to read in people too.
Right.
You know, the people that you have to follow your instinct.
Right.
Because finding a VC is like finding a partner.
Yeah.
You know, you live with this partner for a very long time.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I'm in Montreal, Canada, and it is amazing meeting so many incredible women in tech. It is incredible the culture that goes on here. And today I get to share the story of Sarah with you. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi.
So Sarah, go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody and tell them a little bit about what you do.
Yeah. So my name is Sarah Jinnah. I'm the CEO of My Intelligent Machines. My Intelligent Machines is a company in tech, in artificial intelligence and genomics. We help life scientists to analyze their genomic data, so the data coming from DNA sequence. And we do that with artificial intelligence.
Break it down for us, because some people may be thinking, what does that mean to my life or to the life of your customer?
You might probably heard that we sequenced human genomes like in 2000, and this completely changed the way medicine will be practiced in hospital. You probably heard about personalized medicine that aims to give the right treatment to the right patient based on their DNA sequence. This can happen because researchers can identify what we call biomarkers. It's like signature in your DNA that will identify the right drug to cure you.
Right.
So to do that, there is a lot of research that has to be done on DNA sequence. And the life scientists and physicians that are doing this research, they require a lot of expertise in computer science now to do it.
Right.
And they don't have this expertise. So we provide them with this expertise using artificial intelligence. We provide them with a research assistant in bioinformatics, so in computer science, that help them characterize the DNA and analyze the DNA sequence.
And when did you first become in love with technology?
Oh my God. I was a geek when I was young. I was programming, but I hesitated for a long time between computer science and biology, and I ended up doing my studies in biology. I got my PhD in cell biology, and I've done research for the last 20 years in biology. And I was collaborating a lot with computer scientists. And 2 years ago, we decided to go in this thing, you know, not stopping research, but founding our company and doing more bioinformatics, computer science than biology to help biologists.
What hurdles have you had to jump over in order to get to where you are today? What's been the biggest challenge?
That's a very multi-step process, actually. Long studies, getting a PhD in biology, having a lot of expertise and experience for a long time in research, and then identifying the right problem. Then after finding the right person to resolve that problem and founding the company. And now we're at the very beginning of the company, mm-hmm. the startup, we're fundraising, we have our first client, So that's a very long process and a lot of things to learn, different things to learn mm-hmm. from doing research to becoming an executive in tech.
Right.
Fundraising, etc. That's very different.
You've brought up fundraising a couple times. For all the investors who are listening, what would be your pitch right now? Your 15-second elevator pitch.
Elevator pitch. So we are developing an AI-powered platform to help life scientists find, share, and analyze their genomic data in an intuitive, efficient, standardized, and cost-effective manner. We are the first one doing that with AI that create a real research assistant, and we are raising $1.5 million right now, so just call me if you're interested to contribute.
And what makes you the person to make this possible, to make it happen? Why are you the best person in the entire world?
So the MIMS have been founded by three co-founders. We have three complementary expertise in artificial intelligence with my partner, Michael, who is doing research for more than 15 years in AI. Abdoulaye Banire Diallo, who is our specialist in bioinformatics, and myself with expertise in genomics. It's very complicated to have these three people with these three very heavy expertise being able to understand each other. And we're working together for the last 5 years and on this particular project for almost 2 years now. So that's this is something very important, is the team we are and the expertise we are working together.
And how can people connect with you?
So just connect, go to our website, mims.ai.
Or can you spell it for us?
Mims, M-I-M-S dot A-I, or send me an email. Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, at mims.ai. And I will be shortly answering to your request.
The reason why I asked you that is because I actually got an email from a female founder in Portugal who was on the show. And because she was on the show, Silicon Valley investors contacted her to fund her company. And so she sent me a message and I'm like, that's really powerful. So you never know. But if you have that, you know, opportunity, why not take it? So you talked a lot about your co-founders and that you can't do this alone. How did you meet your co-founders?
So I met Michael, our specialist in AI, at a conference on AI. And we started to figure out how to use his AI technology, which is an hybrid between neural network and autonomous system. So it's a very particular system he built himself. To see how we can apply that to biology and genomics. And we worked on that for 5 years.
Right.
And Abdoulaye, I was collaborating on the other side with Abdoulaye on breast cancer project that we were doing in research. We are both professor at the same university.
Right.
So we met 4 years ago.
And what would you say is a piece of advice you give to someone thinking about to have a co-founder or not to have a co-founder?
I think co-founder is very important. Starting a startup is extremely time intensive and exhausting. And there's mm-hmm. a lot of work in there. So if you're on your own, that's very complicated. And you need to find somebody that is complementary to you.
Right.
You need to have, you know, business abilities, technical abilities. You need to be able to direct engineer in our case, because we are a lot of dev to do. So you definitely need, and it's very rare to have one person that has all that. And anyway, one person will never have enough time to do everything.
Right. I like to think that I could do everything, but you say it's not possible.
No. Actually, when we were enrolled in several accelerators, and that's the thing they're looking for, a team,
right.
not single person, because they know that it's almost impossible to do it yourself.
So have you been in an accelerator?
Yeah. So we were part of the 2017 Founder Fuel court.
Founder Fuel.
Founder Fuel is the accelerator of Real Venture, which is one of the biggest VC in Canada, specializing
Real Ventures.
Real Ventures, specializing in artificial intelligence. So we started this accelerator in last April, and we finished the program in July. And right now we're in CTS, Campus des Technologies de la Santé. That's a French accelerator founded by Desjardins Capital de Risque that is working with us more on our marketing part. And also, we just been enrolled in a CDL, a creative destructive lab in Toronto.
Wait, what is the last one? Like an incubator?
It's an accelerator too.
Oh, so you've now been involved in three accelerators.
Yeah, we finished one and now we are in two. They are complementary because like Toronto, we have to be there like 2 days every 2 months.
Right, right.
But it's a very, very interesting program that allow around 20 executive and VCs to really give us advice on our business and milestones and see with us how to develop and accelerate our business.
Totally. In Los Angeles, a lot of people come to me often and they say, should I or should I not join an accelerator? What are the advantages? No, are you a first-time founder?
Yeah.
Would you say that the accelerators have been vital in your growth?
For us, it has been totally transformative, especially when you're a scientist coming out from the university. You know, you know very little about what the business world is, and then this
I think
is,
people even coming out of business school know very little about the business
but
world.
This has been so that's a unique opportunity to meet a community, to have a lot of mentors, people with expertise that can just for free give you a lot of advice.
Yeah.
That was very fantastic, and I will recommend anybody. You have to go to accelerator, but you have to choose your accelerator very well.
Right.
There are some that are very renowned that you should definitely try to in. And look at the most important things is the community and the mentorship. You need to find an accelerator with huge mentorship.
Yeah.
And this is precious. Yeah.
And how did you choose the accelerators you wanted to pursue? And what was the process like?
So we heard, you know, when you go out from university, in our case, we have like Aligo, who is a valorization like companies, not really companies, funded by the government to help researchers to create their company. And they know a lot about, you know, the different accelerators, et cetera. So you get some advice, pick the one that are the most prestigious one.
Right.
Then you apply. Then we got, I think, 4 interviews.
Yeah.
And we did it.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
3 accelerators. I've never heard. I'm sure a lot of people have gone through multiple accelerators, but I personally haven't heard of someone that has gone through 3.
Yeah.
It's like you every time you finish one, you find a new one.
Yeah. Actually, for us, it's because we have, you know, we have the AI aspect. We have the genomic health aspect.
Yeah.
And for us, it was interesting to find an accelerator that was one AI and one more health.
Right, right.
Just to be able to, you know, cover all the space.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. It's fantastic because what I was going to ask you early on when you were going through studying the sciences and everything, did you feel a sense of community?
Yeah.
And it looks like what you did is you sought out accelerators in order to build a community around what you were doing.
Exactly, exactly. I think that's the most important things when we are a startup or you're raising a startup is to build your community, to build your environment, to be able to call the right person each time you need an advice on something that you meet for the first time. That happened all the time, actually. Every day I meet something I never met.
Right.
So that's a good opportunity to meet a lot of people and to have a lot of address. If you want to fundraise, you need to talk to 30 VCs, a lot.
One of my good friends pitched to 150 before she got funding.
So 30 is not a lot.
She was on the floor crying. She's like, please, someone.
Actually, we are blessed because we are at the intersection of something that is very hot right now, AI and genomics. So the momentum for us is very good. I hope that right now the raising is going pretty well, actually. So I hope this continues in that direction.
Yeah.
And hopefully we will not have to talk to 200 VCs before we fund.
We
finish our fundraising. But
so when you say the raising's going really well, have the accelerators had anything to do with the fundraising going really well?
So they help you a lot. They help you a lot because, so FunderFuel, gave us our first funds, actually, 100K. Yeah. They got equity, so now they are partners with us, and they help us a lot.
And have all of them given you money and taken equity?
Not really. No. The first one, actually, CTS2, it's more convertible note right now. They all have their own system.
Yeah.
CDL, there is no equity. It's totally free.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you might.
So many. So if you could email these to me so we could include the websites in the show notes, that would be great for anybody looking. Now all the accelerators that you went through, do they only back Canadian startups?
That's a good question. I will say yes, because the court I saw at Fundafuel, I think they are all Canadian, but they are pan-Canadian. So we were in this court, people from Alberta, from the Atlantic, New Brunswick, etc., and Montreal, of course.
Yeah.
But I think they are pretty Canadian. Yeah.
Awesome. If you had one tip of someone who wants to follow the same trajectory that you've walked along, where would they get started? What's something that you've learned that maybe you could have done better if you had to do it all over again?
To date, I don't really identify something that was a big problem for us, because I think that we had the right team. And the piece of advice I could give is, if you want to do an AI, you need an AI person in your team. There is no way you can improvise this thing.
Right.
That's way too complicated. And I see a lot of startups that say that they are doing AI. At the end of the day, they are not doing AI at all. And this is becoming a buzzword.
What's that mean to you? What does that mean when you say they're not doing AI at all?
It's not like linear regression is AI to me. There is a lot of people that you know, because they're going to use Watson, they are doing really AI in their business.
Right.
But they are not building something new with AI.
Right.
And actually, this is becoming like a buzzword. Yeah. And this will, you know, if you say to a VC that you're doing AI and they end up finding that you're not, that's very bad for you. That's worse than if you haven't seen that, you haven't said that you're doing AI at the beginning. So, if you really want to do AI, you know, there are not a lot of experts, but there are a few experts that you have to incorporate in your team.
Yeah.
Or have from start collaboration with companies that are doing AI.
Yeah.
Like in Montreal, we're blessed because we have a big pool of AI companies. So like Element AI, Evado, etc. They are like companies that help a lot. The startups that want to incorporate some AI in their businesses, they provide them with quality expertise to do so. So that's, be sure that you have the right expert and you don't have somebody that dream to do AI and that's bullshitting you, basically.
Right, so two more questions. One, where can people find you online?
Our website, so www.mims.ai, MIMS.ai. That the simplest way, by email, sarah@mims.ai, Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, @mims.ai.
And one question I like to ask all the family-prone women in tech, because it's an important question. How do you balance being a powerful leader and being a family person?
Actually, I'm a CEO of a startup that is older than the average. I'm 45. My companion, I don't have kids myself, but my husband has two kids. They are 22. They're going to be 22 next month. So they're not at home. And then we have time to concentrate on our career now. But I can see this is such a full-time, triple full-time job. I don't know. I can see that it might be extremely difficult to have young kids and being an executive in a startup.
Right.
You need to. My husband has a company himself, so he knows what it is.
Yeah,
so it's why
I think that's so important to have. What's the right word? Empathy or?
Yeah, he has to know that you're not there. I'm traveling a lot.
Yeah.
Recently, and when I'm at home, I'm not really at home because I'm working a lot.
Head.
Yeah, in my head, and but this is the beginning is very intense. You know that you have a couple of years, extremely intense. And after, your company, you know, will organize differently. Probably when we will be raising our Series A or B, I will not be the CEO at that time because probably I will be more involved in science.
Right. Since that's your core competency. Yeah.
Yeah. So then probably things will get a little bit more quiet.
Yeah. What one final question, actually. What would you suggest to everybody to make fundraising easier?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. That's not easy. That's not easy. And I don't have an answer. That's a big, big question for me right now, actually.
Is there one thing that you just think is like a positive, a solution-based thing that you're like, if a state of mind or something to do or...
You have to be persistent. You have to be able to read in people too.
Right.
You know, the people that you have to follow your instinct too. Because finding a VC is like finding a partner.
Yeah.
You know, you'll live with this partner for a very long time and this person will be on the phone a lot with you and involved in your business and you have to go along with them very well.
Totally.
So that's that you have to meet this person to feel well with this person and to want to have a business with this person, not just to take their money.
Totally.
So it's just finding a partner. So just believe your instinct. If it doesn't feel right and you don't feel like you're going to be able to work with that person, even if the VC is willing to give you money, just probably think about it and have other options to be able to choose.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Thank you so much for taking your time with the Women
Thanks
in Tech
you.
Podcast. You're amazing coming and making this happen so early in the morning. Is there anything else you wanted to share before we wrap up?
No, I think that's fine. Just, do your dreams, girls. That's very important. There is not enough CEO in tech. I'm all alone a lot of time with a lot of men around me. So it will be very nice to have more women in there.
For sure. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I will talk to you guys. See you guys. Hear you guys in the next episode. Make sure to say hi at Women in Tech Show on all the social channels. And you could also collaborate with more incredible women in tech on the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. Takes you straight to the Facebook group. Bye.
Bye.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Conchetta, who we're about to interview, is about to say all sorts of things. I wouldn't let her tell me before because I wanted it to be fresh. What are you about to say?
This is craziness. Okay, I am in the market for a car, and I just spent yesterday afternoon at Kia listening to them talk about how the Niro broke the Guinness Book of World Records.
No, I didn't even know that.
Traveling across the country with the fewest gas stops. I cannot believe I'm sitting in it right now.
A huge thank you to Kia for powering this road trip series of the Women in Tech podcast. The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.